Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? It's me, Pete Richardson, the owner of Soul Creative, Saving Athletes Respectfully. I'm coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio on the Pete Richardson Morning Show. And what a day it is out here in Lubbock, Texas. But first and foremost, I do want to say, excuse the noise in the background if you do get to hear some. We've got some little bit of renovating that's going on at the house. So, with that being said, I got that out the way. Hope you guys out there is having a great morning. It's actually a sunny day out here in Lubbock, Texas. I'm waiting for my weather girl to get her things together so she can tell you guys, so she can deliver the weather in the right way. So as soon as Ms. Richardson gets her stuff together over there, then we can go ahead and tell y'all what the weather is feeling like down here in Lubbock, Texas, and all over the wizard. But with that being said, do you guys got some friends out there? Well, it might just be you. Because jealousy breeds envy. It's kind of hard not to be a little bit of jealous of somebody. Somebody might have a great relationship that's different than yours, or somebody might be better in sports, might be better at football than you. Somebody might be better in basketball. Somebody might be able to spell a little bit better than you. And so it just brings, not that you're really mad or really jealous, it just brings a little bit of envy. But that's okay. As long as you just kind of use that jealousy and envy to make you a better person, but not really in a sense to compete with one another. And this is the way that you can avoid envy. Envy is defined as the painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, accompanied by a desire to possess the same advantage. So just like I'm saying, so if you play football, you're a good cornerback, but you might be second string, which means you're not playing first string. So that might bring a little envy to you. You might get a little jealous. So you might think, well, I'm gonna tell the coach, well, he didn't go to class, so I can try to get his position. Or I'm gonna tell coach, I seen him out past curfew, so he might not get to start. So that means I get to start, which you become resentful, and that just means you're starting to envy him instead of just making yourself better to compete on that level. So with that being said, you got to try to avoid envy, but it's something that we're all human beings. No one's perfect. Everyone has a little jealousy somewhere. But everyone, you gotta have somebody light the fire up under your booty. Sometimes it takes somebody to be better. Who you think is better than you? That don't mean necessarily you mean that they're better than you. And for an example, there's a great movie that's out right now called Top Five. I was just listening to Double T 104.3 down here in Lubbock, Texas, and they had Chris Rock on the radio, and if you guys do any research about Top Five. Then you got Chris Rock, and you had Chris Rock in the movie, who actually wrote and directed the movie. You got Kevin Hart, who's probably the hottest comedian right here. Then you got Tracy Morgan, who was on the Martin show back in the day. You got just about all the comedians in one movie. So you got to just realize the envy if you guys didn't really get along. But I guarantee you they had the envy, that jealousy, that kind of just, well, I know this guy's smarter than me, so I got to come with it. So that's just what I'm saying. Don't let the jealousy resent you. Don't let it keep you from getting better. So just use that jealousy, use that envy to fuel your fire. Sometimes just take somebody like a tire up under our butt. Okay, it looks like Ms. Richardson just got her phone up and running. So I'm gonna go ahead and let her tell you what beautiful day it is here in Lubbock, Texas.
Good morning, everybody. It is pretty cool here in Lubbock, Texas. You do need a jacket. It is around 52 degrees, and tonight will be around 39. So make sure to keep bundled up. Back to you, Peter.
All right, thank you very much, Ms. Richardson. Yeah, you guys, like I said, we're doing some little renovation in the house. I don't know if you guys can really hear it or not, but what if adversity introduces a man to himself? Either you're going to get squeezed and the little boy going to come out, or you're going to get squeezed and a dog and a man is going to come out. So with that being said, I do got you, Mr. Youth Minister, on the line, Mr. Stephen Alvey. Let me know that you're still here, my friend. You there?
I'm on the line.
All righty, man. I just wanted to make sure you was there, Mr. Stephen. I'll be, like I said, we're doing some renovation over here at the house. And just to let you guys know as well, here on the P. Richardson Morning Show, today my special guest is straight from Muskogee, Oklahoma. But I can say this guy has really been so busy that he's been so busy. It's just that he's from Oklahoma, but he's been everywhere but Oklahoma. He's actually a Grammy-nominated artist. He's been nominated for a Grammy a few years ago. In 1994, he actually went to college at the University of Oklahoma on a wrestling scholarship. And coming from where we come from in Muskogee, Oklahoma, that is very rare. So I'm very blessed to say that he went to the University of Oklahoma in 1994, and then 11 years later, I found a Division I scholarship to go to Texas Tech. So I can say we kind of got the bloodline in our family that people are just kind of blessed athletically, and now, and I'm kind of following his footsteps on being a great benefactor in the community, speaking back, giving back to the community, knowing that it's education, motivation, and inspiration that can help somebody go from the hood into where they're living all good. So that's who's going to call in today. His name is actually Lonnie Barker. He goes by the name of L Boogie. He has an album out called Pillow Talk, and I believe that's the album that that was actually Grammy nominated. But whenever he calls in, he's going to call in about 10 minutes after 11, and we're going to get straight into that interview. But right now, I got Youth Minister Stephen Ivey, who's going to go ahead and bless you with the word and bless the show. So just listen to what he got to say and don't G.O. What's up, Mr. Stephen Ivey? You there?
I'm here.
Oh, man, it's all on you, my man.
All right. Well, man, I just kind of wanted to reiterate what we talked about yesterday. We talked about the power of thought and thinking and how the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And we talked about yesterday how your thoughts transform into actions. And so anything that you find yourself not doing or success that you find yourself not having starts in your mind. We talked about success, reading, you know, learning how to becoming a reader. There's another quote out there, a saying that people say. They say leaders are readers. And if you want to be a great leader and shine above the rest, then get a pick up a book and read. But want to just throw that point back today again, and we'll probably talk a little bit about it tomorrow too, is that, man, you have to have your thoughts, get your thoughts right. And oftentimes what will help your thoughts is what you meditate on. And I know we've heard the talk about meditation, and I'm not talking about like yoga type stuff where you have to sit Indian style or crisscross applesauce and stuff like that. But I'm talking about what's your mind on 90% of your day? What has your mind's attention? Is it TV? Is it music? Is it your girlfriend or your boyfriend? Find out what's taking that thinking space and reclaim that time and reclaim that space of what you're thinking on, and then think on positive stuff. I put it out like this. I'm nowhere near where I want to be in life, but I have already succeeded and passed where I thought I would be at the age of now. I feel like as a young boy, I remember in seventh grade, I was in Texas at the time. And in seventh grade, I remember our teacher having us write a letter to ourselves because she said that when we graduated high school, she was going to take that letter, send it back to us so that we could read what it was that we wrote.
Are you talking about Miss Carrie?
No, I was in Texas.
Oh, I was about to say, oh, man, Miss Carrie did the same thing. So I was like, dude, I did the same thing. But I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Ivey. Go ahead,
No, you good. And so she was gonna send this letter to us. I didn't get my letter because we moved back to Oklahoma by the time I graduated. So she didn't have my address. But in this letter, I remember distinctly writing how I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be the minister of music of a church. I wanted to, I can't remember if I said I wanted to preach at that moment, but I knew preaching was going to happen in my life. I knew that I wanted to record a CD. And by the age 19, I had done all of those things. Because from my seventh grade year up until age 19, that's what I thought about. And it's awesome that Lonnie Barker is going to be on the line in a few minutes. I don't know if he's on yet, but Lonnie was one of the first people that gave me the opportunity to record. But my thoughts transformed my actions because I kept those things in front of me. And so were there bad times? Yes. Did my mother have money to get me all the best equipment? No. Matter of fact, like I said, Lonnie is about to be on the phone. Lonnie was the first one ever gave me and loaned me my first real type of keyboard. So it's cool that he's going to be on the line. But anyway, all of those things happen because they first started out with a thought. So don't be scared. Oftentimes, and I'm done because I've taken too much time, but most of the time we're scared of our dreams and our vision scare us. Don't be scared of your dreams. Don't be scared of your vision. Write those things down on a piece of paper and keep them in front of you and thinking about it, and then watch your thoughts transform into actions and watch it transform your life.
Oh, man, that can transform your life. And you're exactly right. Your thoughts become things. So that's one thing about goals. That's one thing about when I first started studying successful people, when I started studying people who really started focusing on positive things rather than negative, and first thing that they say, if you got a goal, write it down, because your words become actions. I don't know if you really know this or this and research about this, but I've had it physically happen in my life. But sometimes, man, this is the thing about rappers, this is the thing about some R&B singers. They rap on such things that they might not have went through, but since they have grown, they say, so shout has been written, so shout has been done. And sometimes you can write some things that you haven't been through yet, but since you've wrote them down, you might go on ahead and start experiencing those things, whether it's sooner and whether it's later. But sometimes you got to learn hard way, but I feel like once you start to get on that road, once you start to write your goals down, once you start to see this vision, and then once you start to go in a direction that's pursuing your dreams, because I feel like that's the moment when you become successful, when you start to get out of that negative mindset and you start to change your mind and you start to go positive and you start to go in that direction, that's the moment that you are successful, whether if you're there or not. Because really the success is really, as long as you're enjoying your journey, then that's when you know you really become successful. But it's all about the journey leading to the destination. When you get to that destination, I would just advise you, don't be complacent, just keep on going and create another destination. So I'm really glad you hit that note right there, Mr. Stephen Ivey, right about Arkansas on the Pete Richardson Morning Show. And I did just have Mr. Lonnie Barker, he's a Grammy-nominated artist before, just called into the show. So, and Stonehead, stay on the line, Mr. Ivey. I know you probably want to give Mr. Barker some props or just let him know, or just tell him thanks for leaving you your first little keyboard that go ahead, that ultimately got you still in the position that you are now. And that's crazy how you say that whenever your teacher asked you to write that letter, you kind of had kind of predicted that you're going to be doing what you already doing now, but you said, but you already surpassed what you thought that you thought what you would be doing. So I want to say keep up the good work, and I hope you continue to soar. But right now, we're going to jump right into the interview. Mr. Barker L. Boogie, what is up?
How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. For the people who just tuned into the show, I got Mr. Lonnie Barker straight up out of Muskogee, Oklahoma. He has a real popular song guy called All Right, Okay. And this guy actually went to found a scholarship to the University of Oklahoma in 1994, went down there, did some things, and had a tremendous work ethic and stayed positive. And then once he had that opportunity to go away and get up out of Muskogee, do some positive things, he actually came back and started benefiting the community in a positive way. And everybody knows what's going on in the issue right now with the Eric Garner going on. You got the Mike Brown going on. But I'm going to tell you how powerful Mr. Barker's words is. I want to say I was in ninth grade, so it might have been the year 2000. I don't know if he was at Muskogee High School yet, Mr. Ivey, because I really think this was my freshman year. But during Black History Month, Mr. Barker came and gave a speech and told everybody to stand up. But long story short, we had a race riot. It was a little small town Muskogee, Oklahoma. a race riot, yeah, ended up turning into a police riot. I tried to find some something on Google online so I can, because I was telling my fiance about it, I was like, yeah, you know, my cousin's so cool. Then my cousin, man, he be telling them powerful words. He made it right, you know? and like, we had our race riot then, so that's just, and like, all this situation stuff that's coming up now, everything is talking about police brutality and all that, which one of my first cousins is a police, so I can see it from both ends. But that's what we're looking forward for to today. Sorry, Mr. Barker, I know I kind of just started rumbling on about you, but I'm going to go ahead and let you kind of give it in your own words, introduce you, the kind of things you've been through, and just some things that what people can look forward to, some projects coming up now.
Well, first of all, man, let me say it's an honor and a privilege to be on the show, man. I'm really proud of you and what you're doing, and what you stand for, what you represent, man. So thank you for this opportunity to be on the show. And you have my support fully, 100%. You know, for those of you who are listening, you know, thank you for lending me your time right now, because I know time is precious. As he said, I'm from Muskogee, Oklahoma, born and raised, proud to be an Okie from Muskogee. No matter where I go, anywhere in the U.S., I always let people know home is where the heart is, and that's in Muskogee, Oklahoma. I grew up in Muskogee, Oklahoma, went to Muskogee High School, was a wrestler, state championship wrestler, graduated Muskogee High School, went to OU on a wrestling scholarship in college, had a wonderful college experience there. I met my wife. Got married very young. We now have three kids. We now reside in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, you know, I'm just continuing to grow, continuing to develop as a person, as a human being. Of course, honoring God and all that I do. And, you know, right now I'm currently working on a new project. I have several albums to my credit. You know, by the grace of God, I had the opportunity to travel a lot with music, go in a lot of arenas with music, and I'm currently working on a project right now that I really believe will be thought-provoking, will provide hope, and shed some light on a lot of things that we're facing in society. And, you know, the image for the portrayal of the African-American male, the image of the African-American male right now, I really believe is in a terrible light. Of course, with the situation with my dear brother Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, Bill Cosby, all of these African-American men who are being stereotyped as bad men, I think it's up to us as men of color, for men of God, to let society know that just because a person makes a bad choice does not mean that they are a bad person. It's very important for us to know that. Not just black men, white men, Hispanic men, Asian men, everybody makes bad choices at some point in time in their life. But what we need to realize is because we made a bad choice does not necessarily make us a bad person. You touched on something that's very profound earlier, talking about goals and writing down the vision and so forth. And shout out to my brother Stephen Ivey, who, man, I completely am just grateful to God for what God is doing in that man's life. Man, I just remember us back in the day in Muskogee and just seeing the potential in him and just watching how God is doing a wonderful work in his life. I'm so grateful for that. But earlier you were talking about visions and goals and things like that. And there's one point I want to make to that. Is if you get the vision in your eyes, in your mind, in your head, where the head goes, the body follows. It's important to understand it. If you can perceive it, if you can see it, you can receive it. That's not just cliche. That is real. I'm a witness to that. If you can get it in your head, it'll go to your heart, and where the head goes, the body will follow. You have to understand it. For those of you who are listening right now who are at a crossroads, who are at a transitional place in your life where you have a lot of ideas, you have a lot of creative ideas, witty inventions and things like that, but you can't seem to materialize them, continue to work toward that vision. Continue to take small steps. You don't always have to make these big strides. It's the small steps that make a big difference. I'm telling you right now, I've been there. I know what it's like to have a whole lot of vision and a little bit of money, a whole lot of ideas, and a little bit of resources. But God can take your nothing and turn it into something. Whenever you think it's
impossible, I completely agree.
Make it possible.
Yeah, make it possible. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Did you guys hear that? Did you hear that, Mr. Ivy? Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Man, right there. Hey, you go ahead. You can ask Mr. Walker anything you want to, man. I know it might have been a while since you guys chopped it up, so you got the platform. Man, the floor is yours, man.
Well, you know, one thing I want to say this, a lot of the people that are listening right now, for those who do know Steven and for those who don't know Steven, I'm going to say this. I personally have seen this young caterpillar blossom into a beautiful butterfly, and I say that respectfully. I've seen this brother when he was back, you know, as David. David, who in the Bible, David was a shepherd boy. And I can imagine when David was back, you know, tending the sheep of his father and everything else before he was crowned king, and he was working on his craft, you know, singing melodies and worship and praise to the Lord. And little did he know that God would anoint him to be king. And I see Stephen as that. And I don't say that just to pump you up or to fluff you. I'm saying that because I've seen it for myself. I've seen how you were, you know, working on your craft and building your character and being formulated into this man of God that you are today. And I want to give you your flowers while you're still here, my brother. Continue doing what you're doing, because obviously you're heading in the right direction. So many people have been blessed by your gift, by your talent, and you have a word in you that was given by God. And I believe that word is going to really begin to help people understand who they are, understand what direction to go, and your testimony will be a blessing to them. That's for you, Steve. Now, secondly, for Pete, you my kinfolk. You are blood of my blood. And I want to say to you, man, I'm extremely, extremely proud of you. We both are cut from the same cloth. We come from the same place. And it's just encouraging to my soul to see what God is doing, how he's elevating you to this platform that you're using. You've gone through a lot of things. You've been doing a lot. You've succeeded at a lot. And just like me, we've had some times where we fell back. But God has caused you to bounce back, and he's got you on the road to destiny. And I'm so proud and I'm so excited to see what things that you're going to do. And also to understand that you will see the fruit of your labor. You know, sometimes it's discouraging. We don't think that we're impacting people like we really want to. Sometimes we don't necessarily see the fruit of the seeds that we've sown. But I'm praying that God would allow you to see the impact that you're having on so many people that are your peers, people that are younger, and even people that are older than you. Continue to fight the good fight of faith, man. I'm very proud of you, both of you, brothers.
Oh, man, that's what's up. Those are some very encouraging words right there, Mr. Barker. Go ahead, Mr. Oliver. Were you about to say something?
I was just saying thank you.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Thank you. And sometimes like you said, like growing up, and I don't know if it's much of the younger generation, but just the fact that you just said thank you, Mr. Avi, sometimes I feel like with the younger generation, they get so caught up in like the YouTube and the Instagram and the Twitter, and because you know, growing up, if we want to be great, we got to be around somebody that's great, which means we have to find a mentor. We got to have the innovation within ourselves to have the humility to go and talk to this person like, hey, I see what you're doing. I want to do something similar like that. So I want to have you be my mentor. I want to get some advice from you. So which means saying a simple thank you can go a long way. And sometimes with the youth, I feel like they don't really have that respect for the elders almost as much as like my generation did, and looking up to the future. And I feel like but it starts at home. You know what I mean? So whenever it starts at home, then they go outside, then they go to school, and then the teacher reporting to the parents about what the student's doing. Then the parents say, I don't see my kid doing that. But then ultimately, the kid could be a different person outside of home. I've seen it more times than not, just like Mr. Barker said, just because we make a bad choice doesn't necessarily mean that we are bad people or a bad person. So with that being said, Mr. Barker, if you that 17, 18-year-old, see, you was blessed with the gift of God to have that attitude, that innovation, that ambition, that competitiveness to turn your fighting for which you're fighting into a combative competition, which wrestling. You turned that inner drive into a state championship in wrestling. So, but what if you didn't have that talent? So, but you just going to, but you about to graduate high school. Right now it's December. You're in Christmas break, about to go into your last semester in your senior year in high school, coming from a small town. And you really don't have that blessing. You know you're not going to get a scholarship. So what's that advice would you tell that 18-year-old that's about to graduate and to help them keep their nose clean?
Well, here's one thing I want to say. You know, like you said, fortunately, I was blessed to have an opportunity to get out of the as we call it, the hood, you know, with an opportunity to wrestle and give me a scholarship. But not everybody has that opportunity. And I meet people on a daily basis that don't have necessarily a gift or a challenge or extracurricular activity that they do, but they still have a desire to be somebody or to do something. This is what I want to say to that person. One thing you must understand is we are all given the innate ability to succeed, to overcome. It's in us. That's how we were made. God designed us by nature to be overcomers. Have you noticed any time you ever cut yourself or you break a bone, like if you have broken bone, if you have broken a bone or had an injury, how the body automatically begins to strengthen itself, it begins to heal itself, it begins to naturally rebuild itself. That's exactly how we are as a people. Just because you start out in a rut, just because you start out in the hood, doesn't necessarily mean you have to finish there. I know sometimes your current situation looks bleak. I know sometimes the current state that you're in, like, you don't see no way out of this. I don't have the best grades. I don't have scholarships coming in. I don't have an athletic ability. I don't have this. I don't have that. Yes. Yeah, I love those type of people who have not, because I've been there. And here's the beautiful thing about it. God specializes in going to those people who have nothing so they can create something out of it. It gets discouraging because you look around and you see your peers. They've got all these plans for the future. They got scholarships coming. They got jobs lined up. They got internships lined up. And then you look at your situation, you're thinking, man, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing you can do when you have nothing that you can do is do nothing. I'm going to have to slow down and say that again. The worst thing you can do when you have nothing to do is to do nothing. Because, see, to not make a decision is a decision.
Mm.
And like I said earlier, where the head goes, the body follows. Once you make up in your mind, I know my current situation looks bleak, but I'm not going to stay here. As soon as you make that decision, that's when you have to take the necessary steps to get out of where you are and walk toward where you want to go. Everybody has potential.
Oh, man.
Even bad people have potential. Crooks have potential. You know what I'm saying? Murderers have potential.
Yeah.
Everybody has potential. What is potential? Let's talk about that for a quick second. Potential, it means power. Potency, power. Everybody has the power or the potential or the potency to do something great. You're like a ticking time bomb. Everybody, most people now are just sitting on that potential. They're sitting on it. They're not using it. They're not operating in it, but they're sitting on it. Something is going to come along in your life to tap into that potential. Now, you can use that potential for good, or you can use that potential for evil. If I come to you, and pardon my language real quick, if I come to you and piss you off, the potential that's in you is going to either react poorly or it's going to react appropriately. But you still got that power in you. That's how it is in life. In life, life will come and ask you a whole lot of questions, but the power of your potential will determine what answer you give it. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, man, I see exactly what you're saying. And that's actually some great advice that you just gave out there for the young bucks coming up who, like you say, the have-nots. And that brings me to a point, because I'm going to bring up an historian, somebody who actually benefited this country, benefited our people as great people, because, and this is, I'm talking about Malcolm X, because Malcolm X, everybody know him as Malcolm X the pimp or Malcolm X the thug, you know, because the same Malcolm X who was a pimp was the same Malcolm X who ended up with the same one who educated himself, who went out there and did what he had to do. He became Muslim, but he came to a sense of understanding that, you know, that really wasn't the way. We all, as people, are equal. And then him and Martin Luther King ended up becoming, I can't say best of friends, but really good as friends. But when Malcolm X was a young buck coming up, he was a very intelligent kid. And a lot of people don't know that Malcolm X's mom had white in her, and so that he wasn't really full black. So Malcolm X actually got treated, you know, pretty thoroughly amongst his peers, amongst his youth while he was at school. But his teacher knew that he was half black, and he made good grades all the way up, I want to say, up until like the end of his elementary school. But only reason being was because he asked his teacher really asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and then Malcolm X wanted to be a lawyer. Then the teacher said, "No, you can't be a lawyer, man. You can be anything but that. Won't you be this and be that because you are not white." And that's what turned Malcolm X into something that what he ended up being was a womanizer, a pimp, and doing stuff that's negative within the community. But then he ended up going to jail, and then somebody ended up turning that seed from a negative into positive, which means somebody might have their own different views on Christianity or Muslim or whatever it is, but it actually took Allah to make Malcolm X a better person. And then that's crazy how God works, because he put Malcolm X in that prison, and then within prison, Malcolm X found Muslim. And then after that, he ended up being who he's been, affecting the community. But then finding out that really wasn't the way. So then, as long as he stayed positive, kept educating himself, kept moving forward, and then God showed him that really wasn't the way. We all as peace, not black and white. We all one. We all created in God's image. So don't go out there giving that word no more, because that was the word that actually gets you, that got him out of that platform, and which was a prison system, and ended up getting him and having kids and having a wife. You know what I'm saying? But it's sad to say, but he was killed by his own people, but so was Jesus. But anyway, that's besides the point. Well, I, Mr. Barker, just one more question. I ain't gonna take up no more of your time. So, what's some advice that helps you get through your hard times? So, you just gave some advice for that kid that's 18, about to graduate high school. What's some advice for that teen that's trying to go make that transition from college to the work field, that real world?
Well, that's probably the easiest advice I can give. Is because once you're at a place now, you're ready to enter, as we call it, the real world, or into adulthood. The best advice I can give is tap into all the mistakes you've ever made. Tap into all the bad choices you ever made. Tap into all the wrong turns you've ever made. Tap into all the dead ends you ever ran into. And it's in those moments you find out who you really are, because those moments are what build character. It's in those moments when you've cried yourself to sleep, when you snotted yourself crying and then just bumping your head against the wall and realizing that you made a bad choice. That's what builds character. It's in those moments you begin to find out how tough you are, how strong you are, how wise you are, how resilient you are, how much you can persevere and overcome negativity, how much you can conquer those setbacks. Those are the moments that really allow you to see who you really are. It's not in the highs. See, the highs are the glory days. Everybody has high moments. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has moments when they got a little money in their pocket at some point in their life. Everybody has moments where everybody around them, they friends. They got friends whenever they high on the high moments. But it's in those valleys, in those low moments, that's when you realize, number one, who you really are, and number two, who your true friends are. Once you realize who you really are, that's when you can really begin to blaze that trail and go in the direction where you know that you're called to go. It's not about money. If you pursue money, you're going to run into a dead end every single time. See, I used to be in the pursuit of money. But see, if you're chasing after money, money always moves around. Money don't stay still. You see what I'm saying? And money is only temporary. But if you're going in the direction of your passion, you're going in the direction of your purpose, guess what? That money will come. I can prove it in the Word. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Now, what that means is, wherever you go, if you take a look over your shoulder, guess what's be right behind you? Goodness and mercy. The steps of a good people are ordered by the Lord. So where God leads you, guess what's going to be right behind you? Goodness, what we consider finances and resources and material things, that's goodness. And then God's mercy. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Don't chase the money. Go in the direction of your passion and your purpose, and the money's going to follow. That's the advice I would give.
Wow, don't chase the money. That's some powerful words right there, Mr. Barker. I can count on you every time, man. That's what we call being accountable. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah, that's Lonnie Barker, everybody. Went to the University of Oklahoma on a scholarship back in 1994. And just like I said before, you even got onto the show, and you kind of touched on it too, Barker. Yeah, we come from the same skin. And I was just saying that 11 years later, I ended up signing a scholarship. Then your brother actually is a police officer. Then your other brother works in the hospital. So their family right there was, I remember his mom, rest in peace, Miss Mary Mays, used to be a janitor at our high school, and I just wish that she would have got a chance to see me, like, blossom in high school, because that's what I really wanted, because I love just going around just talking to her in the hallway. I just take it back to that two-story house back on, airline back then, right across the street from Rotary Park, and all your other siblings. I always looked up to them. There was somebody who because he went to OU, his other brothers, Ron and Don, went to NEO. Them guys were some superb football players. So, now I'm going to need you to relay a message for me, too, Dee, that I need to get Ron on the show, too, because, you know, Ron is a police officer. I've been talking to my fiance about this because I've been thinking about it for quite some time, getting him on the show, and because he knows how it is to be us growing up, and then he also knows how it is to protect and serve my brother. So I'm gonna need you to relay that message. You got me?
I got you covered, man. I got you covered. I'll relay that message.
Oh, that's what's up. Well, all right, Lonnie. It's been my pleasure. I hope you have a blessed day, and continue to soar, my man.
You too, man. Thanks again for having me on the show, and God bless you and Steven, man. Thank you all so much.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Peace. Well, yeah, that was Lonnie Barker. I can't say brother from another mother because he's actually my cousin, you know, blood related. Well, all right, it's been my pleasure. We had youth minister on the line straight up out of Arkansas, Mr. Stephen Alvey, who's bringing you to worry. Then I also have my fiance, Sabrina Richardson, bringing you to love. And you know me, the owner of So Creative says, and I please respectfully on the P. Richardson Morning Show. Tomorrow, I do have a professional bodybuilder. He was a professional bodybuilder. Now he's putting other people on who wants to pursue their dreams to become a professional bodybuilder. And he's actually going in business with his wife. And this dude, his name is Lawrence Payne. This guy was also a wrestler coming up out of Muskogee, but this guy went from Muskogee and just went sky's the limit. So you guys got to tune in tomorrow, my show's not going to actually be until 1:30. It's because he's a very busy guy, so I want to get him on my show, so I gotta go whenever he can G.O. So with that being said, I hope everybody have a blessed day. Catch me tomorrow, different sort of day, different sort of time tomorrow at 1:30. And with that being said, everybody, no matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. This is the P. Richardson Morning Show. Peace.